This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kasilski and Faggy Stern.
This is 101.9 High FM. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. And we're really, really sitting on the cusp of Pesach. And Faggy's looking at me. We were swapping recipes and deciding, have you done this? Have you done that? How are you feeling, Faggy?
You know what? This is the talk of the town. All the mothers are wanting to know recipes and wanting to know what you've done already and what you've bought already. And it's actually a very overwhelming time for mothers out there.
I always say that we are celebrating going from slavery into freedom. And I think every Jewish mother is going from freedom back into slavery. But we're about to try to change that. And you can ask, what is it on the Healthy You, Wealthy You, that we should want to talk about these things? And really, it is just about organization, about empowering ourselves, about us framing how it is that we can do Pesach with a little bit of what we call in Hebrew, menuchat nefesh, okay, that we just have like a little bit of peace and we don't end up burn out our adrenals. I think that's exactly
spot on.
Okay, so today we have a young mom. Her name is Jody May Roberts. She's an empowerment coach. She's a writer, a co-founder of Power Up for Pesach, and she's host to the Mom Life podcast. Jody is also a longtime Jewish community professional committed to fostering love and connection within the Jewish community. She's born in South Africa. She emigrated to the States as a preteen, a move which profoundly impacted her perspective on Jewish life and influences her community work today. And her hobbies include skiing, hiking, baking, making jewelry, and this is my favorite, snuggling with the kids under a blanket to read on the couch.
Love that.
I love that too. So without further ado, welcome, Jody. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, let's start off with telling us a little bit more about yourself other than your skiing and your hiking and cuddling with your kids. Let's hear.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I didn't grow up doing any of that at all, or most of that. Came in adulthood. But as you said, I'm Jody Fried Naomi Roberts is my maiden name. Lived in South Africa for about 10 years before my family moved to Portland, Oregon in the States. And as you said, that was a move that really shaped a lot of my worldview now that I can look back on it as an adult. It was absolute, complete culture shock, especially in the Jewish community, because in South Africa, I was so used to the traditional way, and it just was not like that in the Pacific Northwest in America. So, you know, thus began my quest for belonging, I would say, as a teenager, a preteen, and an adolescent. And later on, ultimately, a dream and a passion to bring the Jewish community together and foster understanding, because I'm Yisrael Chai. We're one people, we're one nation, and we're much stronger when we come together. So that's me. And I think in that vein, and in light of what we're going to be talking about today, which is Pesach, one initiative that I put together along with a friend and colleague, Dahlia Brunschwig, who lives in Switzerland, is Power Up for Pesach, which is a virtual workshop series for Jewish women to help everyone step into Pesach with a little bit of that menuchat nefesh that you were talking about, to step into Pesach, letting go of that overwhelm and feeling invigorated and fulfilled.
Well, that definitely sounds marvelous. So let's understand a little bit about this Power Up for Pesach, and you know, we'll take it further from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, Power Up for Pesach stemmed out of mine and Dahlia's own lives, our own experiences coming to Pesach and feeling absolutely stressed out, and you know, in that whole preparation phase, kind of feeling this sense of not knowing what to do or where to turn or who to commiserate with or where to get chizuk, where to really, you know, how to get that fulfillment that we desperately wanted. And we were noticing it with our friends too. Everyone who I spoke with was just absolutely depleted and tired and And the terminology, the words that people would use when they were described their Pesach prep and coming into Pesach was like, ugh.
You know? Making me think of my 3-year-old daughter that comes to me and goes, Paro made the Yidden work so hard, mommy. They had to carry these bricks and they worked so hard. And I'm like, I actually feel feel their pain.
Use your Pharaoh.
But we can be our own pharaohs, you know, like working ourselves down. And there's something to it. Like, we should feel the pain a little bit. And also we should be able to step into this holiday, which is really all about redemption. Like, we want to be redeemed. We all want to be in Israel, right? We need to step into it feeling full, feeling fulfilled, and feeling like we can be there for our children, for our spouses, for our communities, for our families. And ultimately, you know, that will help bring the redemption, and it makes the world a better place. When we're filled up, our families are filled up. Seriously, the world becomes a better place. So we brainstormed and brought together amazing presenters from many different specialty areas to talk about and to give workshops on the things that affect us as Jewish women at this time. So things like organization, how to organize your house and your kitchen, things like meal planning, how to plan healthy meals, both for Pesach and also even before Pesach, how to set yourself up for success with like quick and easy snacks that are healthy that you can just grab while you're in the midst of the hustle and bustle. There are sessions on mindfulness. This year, a lot of sessions on mindfulness and different techniques I know you guys know this, but different modalities and different techniques speak to different people and resonate differently. So for example, we had Pearl Lopian, who's an EFT trainer, and she did a session on tapping and walked us through tapping exercises that we can do to help reduce stress or even to help our children to clean their rooms, for example. You know, there was meditation sessions and so much more. So it really, I will say, this is the fourth year that we've put together this program. Each year it's a little bigger and has a little bit of a broader reach. And every year I come out of it, just like the people who participate, feeling so much more equipped to handle the prep and the pressure and the stress of Pesach.
It's a very interesting phenomenon, because I think maybe just because Pesach is so concentrated and so intense, you know what I mean? There's so much preparation, and then we have to go through 8 days, as opposed to, we always have this deliberation in our house. Like, I don't feel the same amount of stress or like just so much going on in my head when it comes like to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, maybe because it's 2 days on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off, whatever it is. It's like, you know, moving in more cyclical. And also there's not this like, you know, change of kitchen and whatever have you. You've just got to maybe think broadly in terms of recipes. But other than that, you know, it tends to be, I don't know, Pesach really, really tends to be a very intense time.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot that comes with changing over the kitchen, because you're also trying to get rid of everything that you have, you know, and so then you don't have maybe the options that you usually do to lean on for meal times and, you know, and all of that.
I guess also with like little kids around, you know, you're trying to work, they're just working against you. Every time you try and clean something for Pesach, they're walking around with the chametz, or they're having their bagel in their hand, or their cereal spilling all over the house. But I guess it's a lot of details.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if they're not carrying around the bagel, you know, they're just around. And if they don't have anything to do, then that's stressful too. Right. Even if it's not that the crumbs are getting everywhere. Absolutely.
We're speaking to Jody Mae Roberts, and we're talking about how to prepare for Pesach.
How to be mentally sane is more what we're trying to
do. How to come onto the other side mentally sane, allow the seat to split, and that you actually come out normal on the other side. And we are going to elaborate on these ideas and try to give you, our listener, some pointers of where we can go with this. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagi Stern.
Welcome back. We are speaking to Jody May Roberts, and we are talking about the Pesach Power Up. So you told us how, what has inspired you. Can we talk a little bit about, can Pesach really be stress-free?
I think that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is a great question. And my answer is yes and no, right? I think the key, I think it's not so much that Pesach can be stress-free. Honestly, if you want my absolute honest opinion, my answer is no. Feel free to disagree with me. But I think the key is to set ourselves up for success. And we do that by setting our expectations. We set our expectations. And once we have an idea of, you know, what's going to be and what's going to happen, then we can set ourselves up for success by planning for that, right? So it's not that Pesach prep and Pesach are going to be absolutely stress-free, but rather to understand that it will be stressful and then have the tools to be able to manage that stress in a constructive, healthy way.
Can I make the following comment? And it was actually a very powerful lesson for me, is that the majority of times, you know, Pesach is stressful because we set ourselves, our expectations are way too high. You know, you sit down and I'm a pretty organized person. I have a 8-day menu. Nobody eats the same thing twice. Everything's prepared before. I've got a Pesach kitchen. Like, I'm like super thing, but you still kind of like feel the stress around it, because I think that the expectation that we put on ourselves is so high that you've got to have 3 desserts and 4 cakes and, you know, and meat and chicken and make sure there's soup, and not one soup, but 3 soups. And so, you know, why I'd like to speak to this a little bit more is last year, just before Pesach, I was starting to get ready for Pesach, as I normally do with all my stuff. Okay. And, my daughter gave birth early. She was supposed to give birth to Pesach. We landed up with a premature grandchild in the hospital, and suddenly, like 10 days before Pesach, the entire paradigm about Pesach changed. It wasn't about, you know, how many desserts and how many cakes and whatever have you. I was left with running Pesach now for two families, two households, because my daughter only came out of hospital like almost like Erev Pesach. I remember when you know, I heard that the birth was imminent, I called my other one. I was in the middle of starting to make the fish, and I had like a plan every single day, and I knew, bye-bye me, I'm not going to be around for the next 3-4 days, because, you know, my energy has to be diverted. My daughter energy, you know, was obviously stopped. Like, she had gone shopping, she had gone all her fruit and vegetables, and nothing was going to happen. And I had to recalibrate. But the interesting lesson about that was that, like, I looked at this entire thing and said, okay, there's not a million guests. We just need to eat the basics. We have to have 2 sailors. And I kind of like reorientated and restructured everything. And we actually had a very nice Pesach. You know, Pesach happened and everybody enjoyed the Seder and everything. It kind of like reminded me with COVID. You know, in the beginning we went, oh my God, how are we going to sing? And then you kind of like shifted into a different framework and saying, it doesn't mean that you have to have all of these things. You can do this in a just a different way. And I think that's that's the Pharaoh in this discussion, is that we're actually our own taskmasters.
I think, Jody, you were saying that as well. You're describing about us having understanding what our expectations were. And maybe, you know, if you do sit down and actually understand what are my expectations, you have an understanding of what needs to be done. Obviously, if something comes and throws the ship over and makes it more complicated, that's a different story. But if you actually sit down and understand not just what do I have to do, what do I have to order, what am I making, but just understanding what is my expectation, that's what I'm understanding from you, of Pesach, and don't go over that.
Yeah, 100%. But, and I also think that you have a very, very good point. And that is, and this is something I wanted to get to, so this is perfect, that we often do put a ton of pressure. As you're saying, we are that Pharaoh in this regard. And we don't necessarily have to make Pesach as elaborate as we do. And I know, you know, just comparing how Pesach is in South Africa versus how it is in America, you know, even though people in America like go all out, it's even to a higher degree, you know, in South Africa. But I think my challenge to everyone listening is, in whatever way, see how or think about how you can simplify your Pesach, or, you know, simplify those expectations a little bit, you know? So if you are usually making a different dessert for every single meal, and this year there are a lot of seudas, you know, there are a lot of those big holiday meals that we're going to be having just because of the way Yom Tov and Shabbos fall out. So if you're one of those people that makes a different dessert and five different main courses and the different side dishes for everyone, maybe think about scaling that back by one or two, you know, and making larger quantities of, you know, a few of those dishes that can serve, that can be served in multiple meals, you know? So I think, you know, we all have to be realistic with ourselves also, because if you're used to entertaining very grandly, then it's not going to work to serve the same main course for every meal. And that's okay, you know, but for somebody else who's, you know, used to something a little bit different, that could work. So I think getting in touch with, you know, as we were saying, our expectations of ourselves, of our families, and what feels right and comfortable to us, and doing what we can to simplify, like do what you can to simplify in your own way based on your situation. And simplifying can really go a very long way. Part of this also is the concept of keeping up with the Joneses. And I think that this is something that many of us struggle with, especially with social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the things where we see so much about what our friends are doing, what influencers are doing, and how their Pesach tables are looking and how their Pesach prep is going and all of that. And that can really cause us to feel a little bit broken inside, you know? And so just to, I sometimes find that we just need to adjust the way that we relate to all of those wonderful, beautiful posts as well. And just give yourself permission to do things a little bit differently from everyone else. It doesn't have to be the same as what you're seeing on your feeds. And it also doesn't have to be the same as your neighbor or your friends. And it's all okay. You know, you be you. You do it your way.
I mean, as you're talking, what's resonating with me, I think that that's the story with our lives, right? With everything, whether you're preparing a Shabbos meal or whatever it is. I remember once, it was so interesting. My husband and I were Rabbi and Rebbetzin of a shul, and we decided to have a communal Seder. And I said to my husband, I can't cater for 200 people. Like, just cater, get a caterer to come in. We're Chabad, so we have much stricter restrictions. I will just cater. I think there were 10 or 15 people. And what was interesting was that the caterer's whole menu, it was elaborate. He was a caterer, right? So you had all the fancy names and all the fancy whatever, and this type of soup and that fancy type of chicken and that type of thing. And I cooked far more simply because I don't use processed stuff on thing. And all that happened, the entire Seder, was that 150 people came looking at it. That butternut soup looked nice. And that was a powerful lesson to me, because it wasn't about, as you said, the elaborate, you know, I've got filet mignon in a mint sauce dressed in a, you know, with thyme, but it was a plain butternut soup. Like, yeah. What did you do in your butternut soup? Nothing. It's butternut soup. And truthfully, that actually made me realize that it's not so much the elaborateness as you've been speaking about, but it's more about the environment, right? And that's really what we want to create, that we actually come to the table relaxed, you know, and we're not going to be pulled apart, you know, on how fancy our chicken dish was, or how many different flavors of chicken there was, but rather that everybody's calm and together at a Seder or a Shabbos or any other time of the year.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, there are ways to simplify just, you know, a few of the things that I think you mentioned, or that my mind was going to, was, you know, if you usually do your flower arrangements and you do your flowers and you do them beautifully, that's something that maybe can be outsourced to a florist or even a friend or maybe even a child, you know. Or if you always cook your, you know, your main courses and your sides and everything else, maybe there's something that one can purchase from a caterer, and it's okay if it's not it's not yours, you know, yeah. If you're not the one that meet it. So that's, you know, just a couple of ideas of, you know, sometimes we have to get creative, but if you give the flowers to, you know, a child to do, that could bring them a lot of joy and help them feel really confident and that they're gaining a new skill, and also take it off your plate. Is it going to be as beautiful as if you put the flowers together? I mean, maybe yes, maybe no, probably not. But that's also okay. As you were saying, like, that could be something that really brings the family together and fosters goodwill.
What I'm hearing you say, though, Jodie, is that, like, I mean, from my perspective, I feel like as a woman, it's just so nice to be supported, you know, and even if it's not going to be done properly, I feel like if other people are involved in the kitchen, in the preparations, just the fact that you feel supported, you could almost do more.
100%. Well, and you can do more, because if you're allowing people to help you with certain things, then it frees you up to do more. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to do more by making another dish or making your table even more beautiful. It could mean do more by centering yourself, by, you know, going into a dark room and doing a breathing exercise so that you can fill your body with energy and with oxygen that enables you to have more to give.
And we're talking about somebody that's supported, and I think that that's very important, because I think, again, part of the Jewish mom genetic makeup is that we want to be in control and we have to do everything ourselves, just like Jodie saying, you know, like outsource your flowers or your decorations or whatever. You're listening to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jodie Mae Roberts, and we're talking how to power up for Pesach without you. What happens when a woman finds herself in a situation where she's unsupported? She ain't going to be getting help from anybody.
That's a great question. And that's when we have to dig. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be absolutely alone. And so I think, you know, that's when you get to turn within yourself and say, okay, where else can I get some support? Having a community of people, whether it's family or friends or even strangers who you don't know who are going through something similar, is so important. And that's also where Power Up for Pesach comes in, quite honestly, because it provides a community of women from all over the world, the people from South America, North America, Australia, all over Europe, South Africa, tuning in and listening to these workshops, and not only listening to the workshops, but engaging in a community, whether on WhatsApp or on Facebook, to lean on each other. And these women don't know each other from a bar of soap, but knowing that there are other people feeling the same stresses and going through the same things is a help in itself. And then putting yourself out there to reach out to someone else, again, can be in a group on the WhatsApp chat or in the Facebook group, also is a way to kind of create that support, even when you don't have it tangibly. If you don't have a spouse who's able to, you know, be there for you, or your kids aren't there, or, I mean, there's so many people in so many different types of situations. And so build that community for yourself. And it doesn't have to be hard. You know, it really doesn't. Like, you can tune in to Power Up for Pesach and get that community, or ask a Rebbetzin, you know, or what strikes me sometimes is how so many people want more support than what they have. Even people who seem to be supported on the outside often are missing something on the inside.
Yes.
And sometimes even like turning to somebody in the line at the bakery and starting a conversation can give both people just like that little boost that they need, you know, to keep going. And so that's a type of support as well.
I personally also found that it's like the little things, you know, we sometimes say, just look at the small things in life. And the other day when I was shopping at Pick and Pay, and I came out with like two trolleys full of things that I needed for Pesach. And, you know, one guard came and took the one trolley, another guard came and took the other trolley, and they started unpacking everything. And I in the moment, I thought to myself, like, how grateful am I that I live in South Africa and have someone to be there to help me with something like this versus being in a country like Montreal where you have to truck through the snow and no one's helping you and your trolley has to be left where the, you know, where the shop is and you have to walk up and down to your car. Like, there are certain times though, I feel like whichever country you do live in, to notice those small things and to understand, like, okay, I've got this. I've got this kind of support in this moment. You know, we are lucky to be in a country like South Africa where we do have more support actually than most places.
Yeah. I don't think speaking to an overseas person, no South African should complain about making Pesa.
I mean, I think you're right, but even so, it's stressful for South Africans too, because we're all operating under our set of norms, right? Yeah. And so I have my norms in America where I don't have people unpacking my carts, and you're operating with your norms in South Africa where everything's 10 times more elaborate, you know? So it's just, it's different. And I think it's important to acknowledge that regardless of where people are, how wealthy someone is, or where they're coming from in life, or what their lifestyle is, everybody's dealing with it in their own way. And we all need to acknowledge that in order to be there for everyone. And I think, you know, back to your question, something else that we can do when we don't have support, and even when we do, is celebrate ourselves. I like to call it celebrate the little wins. Celebrate your little wins every day. Meaning, if it's a challenge for you to brush your teeth at night because you're so tired and you just don't feel like putting the toothpaste on the toothbrush and brushing your teeth, once you do it, celebrate, like really celebrate it, like pat yourself on the back or give yourself a hug. Give yourself the acknowledgement that you did that and that you're proud of yourself, because those little wins build and build and build and build. So an exercise that I love to do with myself or with my clients is every night, just like write down three little wins. They can be big, they can be teeny, teeny, tiny. Three little wins from the day. You know, it can be jotted into your phone or even just verbalized if you don't want to write it down, you don't have a pen or whatever. But somehow, like, consciously acknowledging those things to ourselves helps, again, it helps boost confidence. It helps us be able to acknowledge and celebrate the things that we're doing well. Because believe me, there's plenty that we all feel like we're falling short, and we need to do better at acknowledging ourselves and really being proud of ourselves.
Again, it speaks the same thing. There's this analogy of us being our own worst, being the taskmaster and the pharaoh. And so we'll sit at night going, and I didn't do this and I didn't get that done and I forgot to phone this one and I didn't order that and I did that, as opposed to saying, but I did this and I did this and I did that, you know, and I'm a little bit, you know, closer to my goal. And to kind of like also let go if it doesn't work out, you know what I'm saying? So there isn't a dessert, or, you know, the butternut soup is a little too watery, or whatever it is. It's just, I think that we were unkind to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can set an intention, you know, you can set like one intention for each day. And that intention might be, today I want to clean out a kitchen cabinet. Or that intention can be, I want to go through the kids' clothes. But having something small, something manageable that you actually can deliver on to yourself can also help to build that confidence and build momentum. You know, if you set a little intention, or I want to make these two phone calls, you know, and again, like verbalize that to yourself or write down that intention. And then throughout the day, work toward it. And if it truly is two phone calls that you need to make, you can probably do it. And most likely you're going to end up doing so much more than that because you're feeling good. You know, when we accomplish, we want to do more. We want to accomplish more. And not only is that going to help you, but it's going to ripple and it's going to help your kids and your spouse and your families. You know, it goes on and on and on. So, you know, set intentions, celebrate the little things. I think another thing that I've really taken to heart is creating a belief system, right, for myself or for oneself. So doing this through affirmations, let's say. So
can we hold that point? We're going to just go for a little bit of a break, and then let's talk about that belief system, because I believe that that's very important. You're listening to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Feige Stern.
Welcome back. We are talking to Jodie Mae Roberts, and we're talking how to power up for Pesach without you having adrenal fatigue and, falling out after Pesach like you just actually got through the Exodus. We were talking about having a belief system.
And affirmations.
Yeah. So this is another little tip that I would say to help this time of year and really any time of year. But affirmations are basically short and sweet statements that we can tell ourselves to help us improve, to help us feel better about ourselves, and to help us ultimately, reach a certain goal maybe. So telling yourself, for example, something like, I am strong, or I am healthy, or my body is resilient and strong, right? Any one of those statements you may not feel in this moment when you're saying it, but maybe you want to feel strong. You want to be healthy, right? You want to eat healthily so that you can support your body. When we say those statements and we say them repeatedly and we say them daily, it gives our brain a boost. Like telling ourselves those positive affirmations really boosts brain activity and can help us stick to habits that otherwise maybe would just kind of fall to the wayside. So I would really encourage you to come up with one or two or even three short, punchy statements that are indicative of maybe changes or habits that or ways that you'd like to feel or things that you'd like to do, and say those statements to yourself as if you're already there. It's kind of like, some of the mitzvot, like we don't know necessarily why we do everything that we do, or we don't see how it helps us in this moment. We don't feel connected to a certain thing, but we know that it's good for us, and we know that we want to get there. We know we want to understand. And sometimes when we do the thing, when we observe that mitzvah for a while, then we get a clearer picture later down the line of how it's helping us or why we're doing it, or we start to understand, the impact that it's having on us. And so in a similar vein, these affirmations can help you to ditch bad habits, adopt new habits, and to help you feel strong and healthy and supported. Even saying something like, I am supported. Maybe right now you don't feel supported, but tell yourself, I am supported. And over time, you're going to find that support.
So interesting. A friend of mine, we always talk about the word manifestation. You manifest it, even if you don't believe it, you manifest it. And you
start believing it. a fair point. One of the other things that I found in the last few years, and it helped me much more. Like one of the difficulties I have, whether it's Pesach or any other yontif, is by the time you come to first night, you run, and then you've got all the guests and whatever it is that's happening. And I always kind of like, I have this like, it's the sense that I get all the time. I get into bed, I can't feel my legs, my feet. Like you could probably like chop them off. Like I'd have less.
Never mind when you get into bed. It's also, I find it so hard to be normal and human by the time the Seder comes.
And so what I did myself, and maybe you can say, is it a good thing or a bad thing? In a sense, it was a bit more pressure, but it worked. I actually said, say like this year, Pesach is Monday night. For me, I make Pesach Sunday night, meaning I have to be done by Sunday night, which means on Monday, I'm free. There's no more cooking. There's no more prepping. There's no more everything.
I'd love to add to that, Adel, because I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, how nice would it be to like book a massage,
exactly.
On Monday afternoon, whatever happens, the mashed potatoes are not ready. They're not ready. Let's say you can't be 100% perfect. Yeah. I know you can be perfect, Ava. I'm not so perfect. But when it comes to what? By a certain time of the day, that lady is arriving at your house. You will have that massage so that you have your time. You have that. You calm down. Your body's more calm. Your vagus nerve is more set. And you do have the energy for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And it's actually something that I think it was Rivka Malka Perlman who gave one of the workshops on Pesach prep and how to set yourself up for success. I'm pretty sure that it was her who said that every year she makes Pesach the day before. Yeah. And what that does, as you're suggesting, is that it leaves that next day free and inevitably things come up. But it's not that she has to be, it's not that she's running to finish the cooking. It's that, I don't know whether it's being able to spend more time with a grandchild or set the table. I think that's the one thing that she said she leaves is setting the table is always done, like Erev Pesach. But mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a wonderful idea for anyone who wants to try take that on to make Pesach the day before and then have that Monday to take care of the loose ends and to enjoy with your family.
You know, not only am I going to make Pesach the day before, I'm ordering a massage.
And for those their nails done, go Monday afternoon when the house is, organized and calm.
Sounds like a dream.
Go for your jog. No matter what, something that makes you happy, it makes you feel good.
Are there any other tips you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think we already spoke a little bit about simplifying. I think that's a big one that I would just reiterate. And lastly, I'm going to say breathe. It's so obvious. Breathe. We breathe every day. But really breathe in those moments when you're feeling very stressed out or very overwhelmed, especially. Take a minute, put your feet flat on the ground. You can sit, you can stand. And take a deep breath in through your nose. I know that you've had other people on the show who've spoken about breathing techniques, but really take that deep breath in through your nose and out through your nose. And when you breathe in, like really feel your diaphragm expand. We often breathe in, when we shallow breathe, we like constrict our, we pull in our tummy as we breathe in, but it should actually be the opposite way to maximize the oxygen flow. And so really just like sit or stand with your feet grounded on the ground, close your eyes, put a hand on your heart and just breathe through your nose in and out. Just recognize that in that moment that you are where you need to be and you're going to get through it. The power of breath and the power of, your breathing can just help to really calm your body and calm your nerves so that you can step into the next moment feeling more at ease.
And then you drink wine and you'll feel $1 million.
Exactly. And sometimes that's all we need to just get from one moment to the next. So that would be my last tip is just, remember to breathe.
I think that should also be applied as you're talking about the breathing. I think that should be applied even like at the Seder, because if you've got a very small Seder, it's okay. But when you have like a big Seder or you have a big family and there's a lot of kids and a lot of things, and then you've got some of the family going, are we there yet? Like, when are we eating? Like, have you finished all of this? And there's other people that are getting frustrated. They want to talk and everything. I used to get completely tizzed up, like just trying to control the crowd. And also, I did exactly that. I breathed. I think the wine did help because I don't do wine at all during the whole year. So just taking 5% alcohol does wonders for me. And I just said, it is what it is. You know what I mean? If you on that side of the table want to get frustrated that, you're hungry and it's hot for state and why aren't we there? And you're getting frustrated because you haven't given the Dabal Torah and the kids shouting over there and the other one's going round and round the room. So be it. That's a practical idea.
And what? I'm actually going to implement it. I'm so excited.
What?
Living in South Africa, I guess we can do this, but just like having someone actually be in your home helping you at the Seder.
Yeah.
So much of the time, even on a regular Friday night, I feel like I'm the one in the kitchen. I'm the one still chopping something that needs to be done. Kid comes and starts making this whole mess because they want to make the salad the way they like it. I can't actually sit down at the table, even just on a regular Friday night. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe if we had a little bit extra support for another few hundred rand, not even, having someone be there help you and Either from go along if they're busy with something. Love that idea.
Okay, we've been speaking a lot about Pesach. We're going to give you some really practical ways of powering up for Pesach. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagie Stern.
Welcome back. We've got a couple of minutes left, and I hope we've given you some good ideas. But at the end of the day, if you want to take it further, Jody, how can people – is it too late to join this Power Up Pesach program? Is there still a community? Just give us some information about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So no, it is not too late to join. The live sessions went live last week, but replays of all of the workshops, and I think there are about 13 of them, are available until Erev Pesach, and you can sign up and get access to them by a phone line, or you can watch the video replays at www.powerupforpesach.org. Along with it is a WhatsApp community and a Facebook community. So yeah, definitely not too late. I highly, you know, encourage anyone who thinks it might be something that can help them to sign up.
Beautiful.
I think it's a brilliant initiative, and I think that
why is it only for Pesach? Can we just for the summer too?
when you start and Pesach, Rosh Hashanah this year, just to get into a little bit of a tizzes, it's 3-day yontifs. They're big marathons. So I think after Power Up for Pesach, you need to step up for Tishrei and make it the program on how to actually manage the 3-day cycles.
There you go. Maybe it'll happen. I want to add one super quick thing is have compassion for yourself this Pesach. Like when everyone's going crazy or when you didn't finish everything that was on your list, just like breathe into it and have that compassion and give yourself the permission to fall short every now and then. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. I think the majority of making Pesach seriously is in the head. There is practicality and it is hard work, but truthfully last year taught me that it's really not about the chicken or the fish or the meat. It's just your attitude to it.
And a lot of things can be done fresh and healthy.
Exactly. Great. Absolutely. It's been a wonderful conversation and we really, really do appreciate your time and your space. And we really encourage all our listeners. We will also post it on our WhatsApp group, which as a reminder, Fagie and I run a WhatsApp group where we drop a little something every single day to encourage you on your journey towards better health, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. We will leave the details of the website so that you can touch base. And thank you again, Jody, for your time. We really, really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and wishing you happy Pesach preparations. This is 101.9 Chai FM.